Good morning. It's great to see everybody today. Do you have a Bible this morning? I want you to go with me to the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. We're going to Proverbs 31. We're going to look at that passage in a little different way than typically individuals do. But Proverbs 31 is where we're going. If you have a Bible, if not, fire up your iPhone or your iPad or whatever electronic device you have. If you're using a Pew Bible in front of you, that's on page 586, if that helps you find the place. But in just a minute, we're going to read right there. And while you're getting settled, we welcome all of you. Thank you so much for being with our church family today. Wonderful to be back home with you today, back where I belong. Always glad to be home. Had a wonderful week in Tennessee last week with a congregation where Dan Langford grew up. Dan is so special to our church family, and that group is just a wonderful group, and I always enjoy being with them. We're glad to be with you today. I want to mention a couple of things to you very, very quickly, if I may. In the family report is a note on the front page and also on the inside that next Sunday is our annual Invite a Friend Sunday. And so there are a lot of little invitations cards that are in the foyer under the picture board on that ledge. We want you to take as many of those as you can possibly use. We want you to invite as many people as you possibly can. Let's fill our building next Sunday with visitors. Those are always great days for us. And so next Sunday is Invite a Friend. Let's see what we can do. And I assure you that next Sunday morning, the lesson will be geared toward our visitors and introducing the gospel to them. And so that will be a great, great day for us. And then also, I just want to mention quickly that tonight at 5 o'clock in the family report, we noted that we're going to begin a brief series tonight called The Holy Spirit and You. We're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit tonight. We will talk about clearing away the clutter, looking at some of the ideas about the Spirit that perhaps are not grounded in Scripture that we need to look at first, so then we can actually look at what the text does say about the Spirit. So we hope you can be with us tonight at 5 o'clock as we think about that. Great to see everybody today. Happy Mother's Day. One of my favorite Mother's Day story came last year about this time from the Reader's Digest. It is told as a true story of a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old who proudly presented their mom with a houseplant for Mother's Day. And the 8-year-old told his mom that they had earned the money, that they had worked with dad, and they had earned the money. They had paid for this themselves, and they were clearly very proud about that. But the 8-year-old told his mom, he said, "I got to tell you honestly, Mom, that there was a really nice set of flowers that we wanted to get for you, but we couldn't afford it." And he said, "It had a ribbon on the front of it that said, 'Rest in peace.'" And he said, "You're always saying you want some peace so you can rest." Maybe that's the same mom whose kids had grown to be teenagers. And a friend said, "You know, if you had her to do all over again, would you still have had kids?" And she said, "Oh yeah, I'd have had kids, just not the same ones." Well, maybe that's it. You know, so often on Mother's Day, the lesson is really directed toward the kind of person that a mom ought to be. And that's good. I mean, that has merit to it. There's no doubt about that. Paul told Titus to encourage the older women to teach younger women to be sensible and pure and to love their children so that the Word of God would not be dishonored by the way that they live. But today, I want to talk about some lessons that we learn from our moms. You know, home really is the first Bible class. Home is the first Bible class. Home is the place where the first prayers are going to be said by a child. And most often, those first prayers will be said with a mom by their side. That was important. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." It's interesting that that's the way the Proverbs began. These teachings that God believed were so important to everyday life begin with God saying, "Listen to your mom and dad." That's a really good place. That's a really good place to begin. When you get to chapter 30 of the book of Proverbs, it's interesting, the tone changes a little bit. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. And God takes that seriously. And so he said, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns an aged mother will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and be eaten by the vultures." You know, he's not talking literally there, but he's saying this is the way God feels about that. This is the way God feels about young people who dishonor their mom and their dad. Proverbs 31 typically is looked at as the worthy woman chapter. But in reality, Proverbs 31 is advice given by a mother to her son. We often don't think about that. Proverbs 31 is a mom preparing her son to be king one day, to reach his potential one day. And that son has a name. His name is King Lemuel. It's a name that honors God with the suffix of El. It's a name again, King Lemuel. Older scholars really thought that that was just a pseudonym for Solomon. Most modern scholars really believe that, in fact, there was a king by that name. And here's the way the passage begins. If you don't have a Bible, read it with me on the screen. These are the sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance. His mother taught him. And his mother said, "Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son. You who are the answer to my prayer." And what that mom is going to teach her son in Proverbs chapter 31 is how to be a man one day so that he can reach the potential that God wants him to reach. There's a Spanish proverb that says that an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. I think there's probably an awful lot of truth in that, especially if mom is teaching her child is true and right. You know, in 21st century America, it's just well illustrated that many couples can have a child but really don't know very much about being a true parent. The process of being a parent really is lifelong. You don't ever get to retire from being a mom or a dad. You don't ever get to resign from that position as a mom or a dad. Now, the role of parenting, of course, changes. When your children are just small and tiny, you are kind of in complete control. But as time goes on, of course, you transition out of that. And you really become an advisor to your children when they are grown. But it's always a challenge. I have in my office two or three of the dummy books. I have a book, The iPhone for Dummies and The iPad for Dummies. I know what you're thinking, Preaching for Dummies. I don't have that one. But it's interesting to me that in the dummy books, there is a parenting for dummies. Isn't that interesting? Because after all, you know, you don't have to have a license to have a child. There's no required class that you have to go to. You don't have to get a permit to have a child. Anyone can be a parent. And too often they are. This morning I want to just talk a little bit about the mom in Proverbs 31. A mom that tries, a mom that cares, a mom that wants to make a difference. A mom that understands that a child is in many ways kind of like Play-Doh. That you shape and you form them for the future. God really wants moms and dads to understand that. Not just moms, but dads too. And so in Deuteronomy 6, Moses spoke to moms and dads and said, you know what? When your child gets up in the morning, when they walk with you during the day, and when you put them down to bed at night, make sure that you infuse in that child the concept of God. Because if you as a mom and a dad don't do that, no one else will. And so King Lemuel's mother gave her son some words to help him through life. Three things, really. We're going to talk about the first much more than the last two. But three things that this mom did for her son and that all really good moms do. The first is what we'll talk about the most. And that is that moms, first of all, moms warn you. Moms warn you. We don't always like warnings. We get warnings all the time. You know, one of the things that I really dislike about the news media is the news media on the left and on the right, they're always saying the sky is falling about something. More often than not, it's just hype. It's just hyperbole. But you know, real warnings, true warnings serve a purpose. Warnings are absolutely necessary. The warning from a mom, that is extraordinarily important. Because you know what? Moms have some experience that kids don't. Moms see. Moms know. Mom has been there. Mom understands. And so it means that what moms do when they warn is often very difficult. And sometimes it makes mom not their child's favorite person in the world. But moms know that they have to warn because they're interested in trying to make a difference, not just for time, but for eternity. In Proverbs 31, about all we ever look at is those traits of the worthy woman. But this mom warns her son basically about two things. Number one, mom warns her son in Proverbs 31 about relationships. And so he said, don't spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. He said, don't get involved with women that God has forbidden you to. And secondly, don't waste your strength on people who don't care about your life. Now, this was the spiritual Achilles heel for Solomon. Solomon did not do this well. Solomon had loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and Ammonites and Edomites and Sidonites and Hittites, from the nations whom the Lord had clearly said to the children of Israel, do not intermarry with them, nor they with you. They will turn your heart after their gods. And yet Solomon ignored all of that. He did exactly the opposite of what God said to do. I hope that King Lemuel, whoever he may have been, I hope that he was smarter than that. But you know what? The point is that kings need to know. And our sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters need to know that the influence of our peers, our friends, can either make or break us. There's a reason that Paul said, don't be deceived about this. Because we are deceived about this. Don't be deceived. Bad company will destroy good morals. And he prefaced that with don't be deceived because it's so easy to be deceived about that. You know, kids, our children and grandchildren, they tend, when they are young, they don't tend to see character or attitudes or behavior. What they see are just the externals. I mean, they just look at people and they see the externals, whether or not it's, you know, it's cool and who they want to be and the people they want to be with. They don't give a lot of thought to character. They don't give a lot to attitudes. They don't give a lot of thought to behavior. And so don't be deceived, because it's so easy to be deceived. Bad company can really destroy good morals. Most of us can remember that we were introduced or seduced to wrong by our friends. Now, maybe that was the first taste of alcohol, or maybe it was the first hit of a drug, or maybe it was the first time you went to a movie that you know you shouldn't go see, or the first song you know you shouldn't have listened to, or the first immorality that you know you should not have engaged in. Listen to this. You walk with the wise, you'll be wise. The companions of fools, they offer will always will suffer harm. And so moms, you know what they do? They try to keep their children and grandchildren's bodies safe and their soul pure. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. Flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. And look at that. Do that with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That is, he's saying, make sure that you spend your time with people who care about righteousness and faith and love and peace. What Paul is saying is that there are just some people that we don't need to spend time with. And that's what the mom in Proverbs 31 said to her son. Her son was going to be king, a man of power. And yet mom says, be careful who you spend your time with, because it will make you or break you. It will ruin you or it will save you as a king. And so mom's warned about relationship. Now in Proverbs 31, mom also warned about alcohol. I don't think anybody's warning about alcohol today. But this mom warned her son about alcohol. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. You know what that's saying? It's saying that this mom knew that drinking will affect your thinking and affect your judgment and affect your reason, and it will affect your morals. This mom said to her son, alcohol will change you and not for the better. And so she warned her son about that. If we were talking about that in 2015, maybe we'd just say that mom will warn about daily life. Mom will warn about friends and relationship. But in 2015, that means that mom sometimes got to warn you about your social media. And mom may have to warn you about texting. And mom may have to warn you about music and whatever else she thinks will adversely affect you. That means that mom sometimes is going to be the bad guy. It means that maybe dad will not warn you as he should for whatever reason. And mom's going to have to be the bad guy and do that. But she'll be willing to do that to try to save your soul. And mom, may I just say to you, if you don't do that, who else will? I'm going to tell you, society will be more than happy to teach your child about how they ought to look and how they ought to behave and how they ought to dress and how they ought to act and how they ought to talk. The world will be more than happy to teach your child about that. If you don't warn your child about modesty, who will? If you don't warn your child about what show or movie is appropriate and inappropriate, who will? Or what song is appropriate or inappropriate, who will? Or what attitude is proper or improper, who will? That's the job that God's given you to do. So often the lion's share of that falls to moms. So often the lion's share of that falls to moms. A couple of years ago on Mother's Day, I told you a story about a mom who was home. She was sick. She was laying on the couch. She was feeling terrible. The preschool kids were just running wild everywhere. And the phone rang. And a nice voice at the other end said, how are you doing today? And the mom said, not very well. She said, I feel terrible. She said, the kids are everywhere. My house is a wreck and the kitchen is a mess. Laundry stacking up. And the nice voice on the other end of the phone said, hey, listen, I'll come over and help. I'll come over. I'll take care of the kids. I'll get your house in order. I'll do your laundry, and I'll bring you some dinner. It's all going to be okay. And then the voice on the other end of the phone said, and by the way, how's Hank doing? And the stressed out mom said, Hank. Who's Hank? My husband's name is Bill. And the woman on the phone said, oh, I'm so sorry. She said, I've got the wrong number. And there was silence. And the mom finally said, does this mean you're not going to come over? You know, the moral of that little story is that dads need to make sure that they're trying to help mom. Sometimes dads don't do that. Sometimes they just don't care and they don't help and they don't support. But moms need that. And mom's kids need what you provide. I read this past week of a group of textual biblical scholars who were at a conference, and they were discussing various Bible translations. And they got to talking just casually one day about which translation they preferred for their individual use. And one of them said that he still used the old King James Bible because he liked the poetic language of the Old English. And another said that he used the ASV, the American Standard Version, because he believed that it was the most accurate. Another scholar said that he liked the NIV because of its readability. And there was another gentleman who just really didn't say much. And finally, he was asked, you know, which translation you like best? And he said, I like the translation that my mother used. And when he was pressed as to what translation that was, he simply said, my mom translated the Bible every day into real life. And she showed me every day by the way she lived and what she said, what the Bible taught. And she said it was the most convincing translation I've ever had. Moms, your kids are looking at you for that. And they're depending on you for that. You can't cut corners with the Word of God. You've got to read it. You've got to refer to it. You've got to live it. And so King Lemuel's mom warned him. And secondly, moms will push you. And it's interesting that Lemuel is about to become a king, and his mom's going to push him a little bit. In fact, sometimes moms will volunteer you for things that you didn't volunteer yourself for. Moms will sometimes do that. And so this mom said to the king, open your mouth for the speechless and in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, plead the cause of the poor and of the needy. You know what that mom's saying to her son? She is saying to the king, look, you are in a position to do something. You're in a position to make a difference. You are in a position to do something beneficial for those who can't do for themselves. And so this mom wanted her child to notice others and to be concerned about others. She did not want her child not only to not take advantage of others, but she wanted her child to help the helpless. And what she is doing in that is helping her child develop the heart of a servant. And so twice she says, open your mouth and speak for those who can't speak for themselves. Say something. Defend them. Stand up for them. Get involved. When you could stay silent, you could stand on the sidelines. Get involved and help people who need some help. Don't sit on the sidelines and don't be so full of yourself that you ignore others. Laziness, indifference, and selfishness. Laziness, indifference, and selfishness, that unholy triumvirate is the death of a church. It's the death of a family. No wonder Paul said, look, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. What's that saying? It's saying what the mom in Proverbs 31 said. Open your mouth, speak for people who need to be somebody to stand up for them. Help someone who needs somebody to stand up for them. Galatians 6 and verse 10 is based simply on the example of Acts 10 and 38. That Jesus of Nazareth, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, he went about doing good. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? That has to be taught. And that has to be illustrated. And that has to be stressed. The only way that kids are going to learn to befriend the friendless and to stand up for the voiceless is if they see mom and dad doing that. And so, moms sometimes volunteer their kids for things that they didn't volunteer for. Sometimes that starts just with work around the house. And then it's sometimes work around the church house. And then it's anywhere that mom sees something that needs to be done. You know, there's a really great illustration of that. Do you have a Bible this morning? In Acts chapter 16. There's a great illustration of how that works and what that looks like in real life in Acts 16. Paul, he's out here on these missionary journeys. And in Acts 16, beginning in verse 1, he came to a city called Derbe and its sister city, Lystra. And behold, there was a disciple there. This is Acts 16 in verse 1. And behold, there was a certain disciple there named Timothy. He was the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. His father, however, was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted to have him go with him. You know, we know the rest of that story. We know about Timothy. We know that he became such a great young man because he had a mom who was Jewish and he had a grandmother who was Jewish, and that mom and grandmother taught him and they influenced him and they inspired him. They illustrated for him how to live. Timothy was a relatively young man, but Paul saw something in him. He wouldn't have taken with him somebody that was going to be a detriment, a burden. Timothy had been trained by his mom and his grandmother. And I got to tell you, I'm sure that Timothy's mom would have loved for Timothy to stay right there at home and not go to, you know, the uttermost parts of the world with the Apostle Paul. But she was willing to let him go. And she probably would have liked for Timothy to have chosen a more lucrative field of endeavor than becoming an itinerant preacher. But she was willing to let him go because they had taught Timothy to serve the greater good. Where do kids learn that? And they have to learn that from mom. Hopefully they'll learn it from dad too. But they're going to look at mom first. And then finally, moms always want whatever is best. You know, that's what Proverbs 31 really is all about. It's a mom speaking to her son and saying, son, in that first verse, listen to me. You are the child of my womb. You are the child who is the answer to my prayer. And so I want what is best for you. She'll talk to her son about finding a wife. And though it's not recorded, I'm confident this mom probably said similar things to whatever daughter she had about finding a husband. And this mom says, here's the key element. You find a mate that is virtuous. Or maybe you have a translation that says excellent. Or you find a mate that is of noble character. This mom says, I want you to make sure that you find a mate, whether it's a son finding a wife or a daughter finding a husband, that is worthy and virtuous and of noble character. Because moms will always want what is best for you. Is mom going to occasionally preach to you a little bit? Yep, she will. You know why? Because she loves you. Will she sometimes harp on you about things that you want to say, hey, I already got that. Got that long? Yeah, she will. You know why? Because she wants what is best for you. Will she sometimes tell you the same thing over and over again? Yep, she will. You know why? Because she wants what is best for you. Because more than anything else, she wants you to be right with God. Because I will tell you that every mom and dad want more than anything else in the world for you to go to heaven when this life is over. In Galatians 6, and beginning in verse 9, Paul said, let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due season we shall reap a reward if we do not lose heart. There are a lot of applications to that, but I'm going to tell you there's an application for moms and dads in that. Don't lose heart in doing what's right for your kids. Regardless of what circumstance you find yourself in, that child's salvation, to great measure, is going to depend on what you teach and what you show. I see moms so often standing in the back of this building, and their child just doesn't have any more minutes in them to sit, and Don still got one more point. And mom's back there walking and bouncing that baby and trying to keep them for just a few more minutes. I want you to know, moms, we see you. And we appreciate what you're doing. And you're making a difference in that child's life. Even though they don't understand it yet, you're making a difference for eternity. And there are moms in this audience whose little ones aren't so little anymore. And you're trying to do right, trying to teach them, trying to impress, trying to live. And sometimes you've got to overcome an awful lot in order to do that. And sometimes we don't see because we don't know. But God sees. And God knows. And you're making a difference for eternity. That's a mom that makes a difference. If you're in this audience this morning, you've never become a Christian. You've never been baptized into Jesus Christ so that you could become God's child, God's son, God's daughter. Would you understand that your Father in heaven will warn you? He will push you. He wants the best for you. And so he's allowed you today to be at this place with this opportunity so that you can be buried in baptism and rise to walk in a brand new way of life. And if you're God's child, that God who warns you and pushes you and wants the best for you, and yet somehow, for some reason, you've rebelled against him, there'll never be a better time for you to come home to him than today. And so if there's a response to God that you need to make today in a public way, and we can help you, we hope you'll let us. Let's stand and let's sing.